30 years of the biggest and brightest in the country.
Live from downtown Detroit. 99.5 WYCD's Downtown Hoedown 30.
Find out who, where, and when
in just 2 days with Doc, Rachel, and Grunwald. Downtown Hoedown 30. 99.5 WYCD. Your flip-flops are ready.
Hey, this is Kenny Chesney.
5 times today. Win your tickets to see Kenny Chesney. Tim McGraw. Something like that. Grace Potter and the Nocturnals. And Jake Owen. August 18th, Ford Field.
Want to go to the show?
Keep listening to win. Win yours 5 times today. And find out more now. WYCD.com.
This is the town that puts the world on wheels. And this is the station giving you winning in overdrive.
How you like me now?
Toby Keith, live in overdrive. June 29th at DTE Energy Music Theater.
I could get used to this.
Tickets on sale Friday at 10 a.m. So fill the cup, listen, and win 6 times a day.
You're running with the big dog, baby.
99.5
WYCD.
We don't want to grow up.
Fine, choice,
acting our age is not the goal.
Oh, grow up!
And being a bit childish sometimes is way more fun. So this winning weekend, WYCD is giving you a little extra young.
I'm going to be 30 years old for the rest of my life.
It's a young country winning weekend with your tickets to see some live Gary Allen, Rodney Atkins,
these are my people,
Sonny Sweeney, Josh Thompson, and Eric Paslay tickets at DTE Friday, June 1st. Tickets on sale now at PalaceNet.com and all Ticketmaster locations. It's a young country winning weekend. Thanks to Greektown Casino Hotel. 99.5 WYCD.
The producers.
Talk about gear. I always got to hit this. Essentially, what's your chain like? And you already said Pro Tools, but what's your mic chain?
It's a Sennheiser MKH416 P48 shotgun mic.
That's what I got.
Chris Corley, I think the real Don Steele in LA used that microphone. Ernie Anderson used that microphone, and Chris jumped on that bandwagon really quickly, way long time ago, and that's what he used. And he said it's an amazing microphone. And if you ever
it was used on film sets. It was used on
it's a boom recording. Mic.
Yeah,
it's a boom mic. It's actually every single movie out there is shot. The audio guy holding a boom has a 416 on the end of it.
Yeah.
They weren't really meant to be talked into like at point blank range, but that's the microphone I use. And then I use a Monster cable series 100, I think 100 or series 1000 cable. It's this big, it's like a hydraulic line coming off of it for perfect voltage and timing. And I have that plugged in.
I'm a geek. I'm a nerd for gear and stuff. How much does that cable matter? Do you really think?
Oh, the cable between your mic and your processor is everything, and your preamp. I mean, that's what Chris Corley taught me. He goes, I remember he was really into it. He says, I got a 416 and I use Canari mic cable between the microphone and the pre. And I was like, really, Canari? Ooh. And but it made all the difference in the world. He was right. You know, it's just the microphone and the cable and the preamp are your voice. You just can't plug this thing into a Mackie board and make it sound good. It's just not going to do it, you know?
But so what's your preamp?
The preamp I'm using is a Universal Audio 6176. Basically what that is it's a combination tube pre and limiting amplifier. It's the Universal Audio 610 pre, which is a tube. Mm-hmm. And, it's pretty cool. It's just got a huge knob on it for how much input. And if I actually turn, you can see it's probably dusty. It's got some dust in it because it's, it's a big analog piece of gear. That's the pre. So it's one side of it is a 610 tube preamp. With a very limited EQ, I'm actually rolling off some 10K by about dB and a half. And then on the other side of it, it's all rack space, and it's two rack spaces thick. And it's one side of it's the pre, and the other side is the 1176 Ellen limiting amplifier. Those of you who are gearheads probably remember the old Urey compressors, like the LA2, LA3A, LA4, 1176, 1178 dual peak limiters. Universal Audio has, you know, basically started making all this stuff again. So if you're a big gearhead of that stuff, then that's what I use. So that's the preamp. But I'm kind of got some stuff on the line. I use the 6176. So that's what you're hearing now. And so that's the pre going into a limiting amp, which is basically a limiter.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just kind of tickling the limiter a little bit. I'm not really hitting it that hard with a 4-to-1 ratio. And then I run it into it's line out. Okay. Not mic out. It's line out. And then I run it into a Symmetrics made this box. They don't make it anymore. Not this model anyway. It's called an Air Tools. It was made by Symmetrics, but it's called an Air Tools, like a 6200. And if you can find one, they're amazing. But now they make one called the Air Tools, like 2X or something. And what makes this one so amazing is that it's completely digital. It's all DSP. So the compression and the equalization and everything that you're hearing in my voice right now is DSP. So it's not like a Symmetrics 528E, which I'm sure you've heard of that.
Oh, yeah. I have that one sitting right here.
Yeah, so it's got capacitors and diodes in it and things like that. That's what a 528 does, very analog. DSP is digital signal processing, and that is what, you know, how you process reverb and limiting and compression limiting EQ and sounds in Pro Tools. That's all DSP. It's just algorithms. So what you're hearing right now, the compression and equalization you're hearing on my voice is not through really anything other than algorithms. They're plugins. And
why do you like that? Why you seem to be speaking highly of it. Why do you like digitally processed?
It's basically because algorithms don't go soft. You know, as you have a piece of equipment over time, some resistor or capacitor is going to start to go bad in it, and it's going to change over time. You know, the highs will start to get soft, or the lows will get mushy, or it might get a hum in it, or more harmonic distortion will happen over time. And this box, all of the EQ and compression and everything is digital. It's DSP, but you can build the module in it. So it's got a parametric EQ in it, and a downward expander for the noise gate and everything. And you can build it. You can put the EQ where you want. You want to put it before compression, or do you want to put it after compression? Do you want to put a filter where in the expander do you want to put? So you actually build this really cool little building of processing, you know, start with EQ and then go to, start with expander, then go to EQ, then go to compression, then go to makeup, and you can store the settings. It's got 250 user presets in it. So right now I'm on my television setting, and I can switch it over right now, and that's my movie trailer. See, it's a lot lighter. So it's like, you know, I can say, you know, from Walt Disney Pictures, you know, it's a little lighter. There's not a lot of compression in it at all. And then I can switch it over to this one here, and this is just, it's a preset. I set it. So I don't have to turn knobs. I'm punching a recall, basically bringing up a whole new parameter of settings with one button. When I read it and hit stop, I double click it, name it, export it, you know, you know, a lot of guys out there, you know, it's always funny when I run across a guy who uses Pro Tools and I said, well, how do you turn it into an MP3? And he goes, I bounce it. And I'm like, you bounce down like, you know, a single VO, you know, track. And they don't understand that you can shift command K, you know, export is selected, you know, and do that. But it was kind of funny. But I don't have time really to do anything other than read it, hit stop, shift command, you know, double click it, shift command K, export it and send it on and post it or whatever. And then I'm on to my next project.
Yeah.
The mic pre is analog in and analog out, and then it goes into the Air Tools box as a line in. See, the Air Tools box will process as a line or a mic.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you turn the phantom power off and you just plug it in the line input and you can set up your compressor that way. But the box has got two AES digital outputs. So one feeds Pro Tools and the other feeds the ISD inline. And so, you know, everything is digital when it's recorded or sent down ISDN.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's so that's a good thing. Plus, it has the since it's all DSP, everything is always the same. It never changes. Everything always sounds perfect, and you don't have to worry about bumping a knob or going, oh, I need to take some high end out, and you reach over and you turn the high end down, or you boost up the bass, and then you got to put it back.
Right.
You know, here you just hit recall, and everything goes right back to where it was. So, and it has an amazing downward expander. One thing I can't stand. And is open mic. I can't stand an open microphone. I'm one of these guys that if I plug a microphone directly into a board or into a processor and it's open and there's not an expander closing down around me, it drives me crazy.
Uh-huh.
That's a little, you know, old school. I think that it's very radio, you know, like, oh, he has to have an expander on his voice. I just like to have a downward expander running. And
I couldn't agree with you more, by the way.
And since this is a DSP, you know, a lot of guys out there use the Focusrite Voicemaster Pro, which I don't think they make anymore, but that's got a downward expander on it. And it's, you know, it's got capacitors and diodes in it. And if the air conditioner's on and it's rumbling, you hear, because it's just, it clicks and it pops. So you got to turn the high pass filter on to get rid of that. And then now you're compromising your voice, but it's the Air Tools box. The 6300 is just amazing. I've got three of these things. I got one in the car and then like two here, but just in case, you know. But
that was my follow up on that. I mean, you do want to leave the house from time to time, perhaps take a vacation even. But what's your road rig like? You have some gear you take with you?
It's very difficult to be able to tell the difference between whether I'm in my studio or whether in my car. It's a travel rack case with a zipper front and back on it, and in it is this is the 416 microphone with the Air Tools box. Now I don't have the tube pre in the car, but I have the Air Tools box set up to sound so much like it. It's really, really hard to tell. But when I read on the road, I want all the EQ and all the compression and all the downward expansion that I have when I'm in my studio. I never, ever, ever compromise my microphone sound, even if no one can tell. Even if I send it to a network and they put it on the air, they still compress it themselves and EQ it. I have a sound. I like my sound. Mm-hmm. This sound has done very, very well for me in my career. Mm-hmm. And my clients deserve, just because I decided to take a vacation or whatnot, my clients certainly deserve to have the best sound as possible. So there might be a lot of guys sitting in their cars, you know, using their little Apogee mic plugged into an iPad, you know, until that iPad has a program in it with extensive equalization, a good compressor and some downward expansion or some rendering capability where I can make it sound like my house, then I'm not going to use it. So I travel with a sizable case on wheels.
and assuming some sort of a Mac laptop with Pro Tools.
Yep. I got a Pro Tools, you know, like a MacBook Pro and in the cases, in the travel cases, all sorts of other gizmos, you know, I have a drawer, you know, like a rack mounted drawer in it. So I pull it open and I've got a stopwatch in there and another company made all these iPhone breakout cables. So my iPhone, the headphone jack on your iPhone is an input and an output. So there's a company out there where you can plug in your the name of it slips my mind right now, but you can plug into it and it gives you a set of pigtails for in and out. I mean, you can put an XLR cable into your phone. It's amazing. So they make all sorts of pigtails. So my phone acts as my phone patch, so my clients can direct me over the phone. They call my cell phone. I pick it up. I can hear them. And when I talk into my microphone, it feeds down my phone. And I use an inbox, you know, I use an inbox too. It has, and incidentally, since the Air Tools box for the mic pre is digital, I actually record digitally on the road. So it feeds SPDIF directly into the inbox too. And then the mic processor's analog output feeds into the analog in on the inbox because that's how I hear myself. You can't monitor a digital input on the inbox. And then input number two on the inbox is my phone, so I can hear the client. And then the monitor out on the inbox is what feeds the phone, so they can hear me.
There are people writing all of this down, I guarantee it.
Right. And it is amazing. Plus, you got Pro Tools. And then, of course, then what about electricity? How do you power your mic pre in the car, you know?
You have an inverter?
I have an inverter. I have a two-plug like fan cooled inverter. So plus my SUV has AC power in it. It actually comes with AC power. But if I have to roll it anywhere else and, you know, do whatever, I can plug it into a cigarette lighter. I can plug it into a outlet in the wall.
Yeah.
And then you have to think about your connectivity. How are you going to get it out? You're going to drive around looking for a hotspot. So I have a Verizon MiFi, you know, hotspot that I mm-hmm. that I have an account for $60 a month, and I have 4G connection. So the phone acts as the phone feed. The computer, I can read the scripts right off the computer and do all my recording and editing right on the computer. And then when it's all said and done, I don't know where you can be in this country without a cell phone signal. So, you know, you usually have 3G or 4G connectivity, which is just about as fast as a home internet connection now. So you can move it right up onto the server. And there's many times I'm driving down the interstate and then CBS will call and say, hey, we need you. What's going on? Are you available? I'll pull off at a rest stop, or I'll pull behind a damn McDonald's or like a gas station parking lot. Mm-hmm. The car is the perfect booth. It's so quiet in the car because of the seats and the ceiling and the carpet. It's a perfect booth. So you just sit in the car and I can leave the car running with the air conditioner on because of the downward expander in the air tools box is so good. You don't hear the air conditioner.
You love that air tools. I honestly am not familiar with it. I have to check it out.
I've gotten to the point now where, believe it or not, I'll pull into a parking lot. I'll be at dinner and I'll get a call and somebody in NBC Sports is what I'll literally, because the downward expander is so good, I will walk outside and I will raise the tailgate in the car and stand in the parking lot. I was just in Dallas and out kind of on the outskirts of Dallas, Fort Worth. And I pulled into a movie theater parking lot out at the end where nobody parks, raised the back of the car up, and I stand at the back of the car outside voicing the promos and whatever. You can't tell. You just can't. I have it set up so well that you just can't tell. I get done. People walk by me. Who's this douchebag with the headphones on holding a stick in his hand? Talking to, what the hell is that? But what, you know, is that, something? It works.
Yeah, what is that thing that looks like a long barrel of a gun he's got in his hand?
He's going to shoot himself in the head while he's listening to, you know, Nine Inch Nails. What the hell is he doing?
What has this been, almost an hour and a half? This is great.
Has it been an hour and a half? Oh, God, yeah, I guess it's been an hour and a half.
I'm so thankful that you did the interview. It took us a minute to get it going. In fact, you mentioned Dallas. You were coming out of Dallas as I was coming back in, or I think I was on my way to Nashville. So, next time you're in town, man, I'll buy you a beer or whatever.
Oh, that sounds great. Well, my girlfriend's from Dallas, so.
Cool.
We'll be coming back on a regular basis. But thank you so much. It's an absolute privilege to be able to be interviewed. I mean, I got to tell you, I'm a bit of a rambler. I don't even know how many questions you asked. What, two? And I think it's going
no,
on.
No, it's all right. Believe me, people wanted to hear you talk, not me.
Well, I got a chance to listen to your podcasts and it's amazing. I don't think there's anybody doing what you're doing. So I'm thoroughly impressed with what you've done. And I want to tell you that it's been really interesting listening to other people. Eric Chase and I are good friends and have been for a
Florida
very
guys.
Long time. And I hadn't talked to him in a while. And after I heard him, heard him on your podcast, you know, I called him and we talked for 2 hours.
That's awesome.
Chris Corley lives in the same town I do.
Yeah.
Which is just amazing. And Chris is just an amazing guy. He's done so much for me. I don't thank him like I should, you know.
You're both handcuffed to your studios, though. Do you ever get out?
We
and
are,
hang out?
You know. But I owe Chris a tremendous amount of thanks, and I owe, you know, people that I've worked with. There's so many talented producers out there that have believed in me in radio. Dan Kelly at WPLJ in New York is a great guy, one of my very good friends, and he's just very, very talented. I've worked with the guys out at Today FM in Australia. They're just so, so talented.
Konski.
Oh, yeah, Konski, David.
Yeah, I forgot. I did want to slide this question in at the end, but
mm-hmm.
his question is a very serious one. He asks, who are the better producers, Aussies or Yanks?
You know something, it's without risk of, you know, having everyone and every producer in America saying "F you, Brian, I'm never going to use you because you think Aussie's better." The neat thing about I think if you ask Eric Chase about imaging in America. You know, there was a time when imaging was just, you know, where you could make $80, $90, $100, $150,000. I mean, these amazing producers like Eric Chase and Steve Sykes, these guys, you know, rode huge waves when stations were paying big bucks, you know. And now it's these imaging guys, you know, I take my hat off to them because they work so hard and they do it for themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody who's in a production room producing or voicing is doing it hopefully because they love it, not because they have to. And I think that anybody that gets into this business needs to have that mentality. You don't say, I want to make millions of dollars a year voicing trailers and network television. That's what I want to do. I want to make millions of dollars. So I want to do this and I want to get an agent. This is what I want to do. The wrong attitude. You do it because you love it. You do what you love in your life. And then, you know, the success follows. That's what truly the true success of, and that's how you do it, Ryan. I mean, you obviously have a love for what you do and you wouldn't be doing this. I mean, you don't do these podcasts to make zillions of dollars.
No, not yet.
You do it because you love it. And you know something, if that happens, if the money starts coming in, it's because you started doing something that you love to do.
Right.
And that's everything with voiceover and trailer. You do it and you do it for yourself. You do it because you want to be good and you do it because you want to satisfy your own craving to do that kind of work, whether it be production or whether it be voice or whether it be both. That's why you do it. And if you say, I want to do it to make money, if you want to pick up extra money, you know, doing it on the side, fine. But if you want to go all out and be a trailer guy or whatever, it has to be because that's what you want to do. It takes a lot to stand here for 12 hours and all day and just not move. Hmm. Headphones on, staring at a screen all day long, and you don't move. I mean, I don't even go in my house. I'm in a studio in my house. I rarely ever walk into the house. When I'm here, I'm in here all day. And I stand, by the way. I do not sit.
Oh,
I stand all day.
That's interesting.
Yeah, there's a company called Martin and Ziegler. If you want to look it up, Martin and Ziegler, they make desks that are on motors that lift up and down. They have racks built into them and everything. And I have this big, huge 85-inch long desk with multiple platforms on motors that lift up and down that hold equipment and everything, so I can stand and adjust, the table size in front of me and then the back where the monitors and the screens are and everything. So, you know, because you sit down all day and it's bad for your back and you can't, you know, it's just bad to sit. So I can stand for 12 hours and not even know I'm standing. So,
well, Brian, man, this was great. I will let you get to your weekend. And thank you so much for doing the interview with me. I very much appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. I hope that all the questions were answered, and I hope that somebody gets something out of this. I don't normally talk about stuff like this. So to me, I sounded like the whole time I was doing this that I was kind of rambling. I don't necessarily know if it came across at all very interesting.
Oh,
it's all kind of about me, and I'm just a normal guy like everybody else.
No, that's what it is. I guarantee people find value in it. And you were very candid, too, so I appreciate that as well. Thanks, Brian.
The producers.
I was going to jump on part two and three, but it's technical. Everything's written down. So I decided not to bother you. So at the back end of the final part of the Brian Lee episode, hopefully you enjoyed that. Hopefully it wasn't too long. I did cut it down a bit because, yeah, I think he mentioned he got a little long-winded from time to time, and so I did chop it, but not too much. Again, I do take critique well and comments. And if you ever have, like, hey man, that was too long. Otherwise, I'd like, just tell me. I'll take all the feedback, and ignore it. But I will definitely take it. I'm just kidding. If you want to be updated on this podcast, I don't know if I've mentioned it in the last episode or two. I probably did, but Facebook is a good place. Building that up a little bit. I might be near 200 likes or fans or whatever you call it. Facebook.com/prodpod, PRODPOD. If you'd like to check out that page, I'll update the podcast there as well. I don't really do personal stuff on that, but if I have, I don't know, some sort of a great producer's resource, I might post it there very, very rarely. Otherwise, when I have major doings on the website in regards to the podcast episodes or some blogs that I post, maybe tutorials or other, I've done some textual interviews. I did a new segment called 9.5 Questions. where it, maybe it doesn't warrant an entire audio episode, but I want to get a quick take on what's happening. I started that segment up with Jake Kaplan recently. You can check out that. Another segment, submitted demos and also in the studio. So if you want to just submit your demo for the world to hear, you can absolutely do that. But I would prefer you submit more, i.e. pictures of your studio, pictures of outside your studio, anything more about where you work, just to give people an idea of where we are and who else is out there and what you know, setting in which they're working. Send them on in. I'd love to do an in the studio segment about you. And I don't care who you are. If you're, you know, an amateur producer that just likes to tinker, send me your stuff. If you're the biggest of big, yes, send me your stuff. But you can do anything to my email address, ryandreen@gmail.com. Ryan at Ryan on the Radio works too, but I figured the Gmail's good. You can also use the contact form on the website. So, yeah, I think that should be pretty much the business stuff. I do have a Google Plus page as well. Just go to the website and hit that link. And I did set up Stitcher. I was reading. It's one of the vastly growing podcast apps and ways that people are consuming podcasts. So you can see that link on there as well. I don't really know numbers on that. I don't know how many people are getting the podcast via Stitcher, but it's available in case you care about that. What else? Twitter. I have a Twitter. You can find it. I don't really use Twitter that much or that importantly. Yeah, and then finally, I will mention Dave Bethel is the next interview. Dave is very awesome. He was actually in Dallas. He does some work with TM Studios, which, of course, is how, you know, where I am and how I met him. And we ended up spending a couple days together, had a couple lunches. I took him to some Texas barbecue, and I actually said, hey, what do you want to get to lunch today? I don't know. What do you think? How about a burrito? And he said, what's a burrito? I thought that was awesome. So anyway, Dave is a ultra-talented producer. He used to be more focused on radio imaging and sound design. Lately, though, focusing mainly on music. He did a video tutorial for me where I literally filmed him doing something. I'll also have that ready to go with this episode, which should be ready sometime late April or early May. It's going to coincide with a brand new music release he has, which is oh so very exciting. So that should do it. I think I've yapped plenty for the end of part three of Brian Lee. Thanks for checking it out. Again, you can reach me anytime, ryandreen@gmail.com, or hit me up on the website, ryanontheradio.com. Thanks. Bye.
This is The Producers. Have a question, comment, or concern? Email Ryan at ryanontheradio.com. The Producers. Thanks for listening.